Oh, hey, everybody. It's another Bright Side podcast. Today we've got Kyle Witzel. Kyle is an artist and illustrationist from Las Vegas, Nevada. And he mainly focuses on comic books and comic book characters. And a very interesting guy that I got to talk to. Has a vast knowledge of comic books and their history and the different editions of their history. So definitely got to enjoy talking to him about Batman and other comic book characters. But most importantly, we talked about his art and his perspective on these characters. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking to him. I wish it was a little bit longer, but we were short on time. So anyway, he always, if you want to check out his artwork, you can always go to downandnerdyart.com, downandnerdyart.com, and check it out. There's a lot of cool things out there, and, you know, he's just a really cool guy, and I think you guys are going to like him. Well, anyway, I'm Christian, and this is another Bright Side podcast. Hey everybody, today I'm with Kyle. Kyle, say what's up.
Hey, how we doing?
Alright, so Kyle is, I guess you could say, like, illustrationist, right? I mean, you draw, but would you consider yourself more, I mean, I'm not trying to separate the two, like, art isn't illustration, but you would consider yourself more an artist or more of an illustrationist slash cartoonist?
I would consider myself more of a cartoonist, or an artist, I would say. I paint as well. You can see all my paintings there in the background.
Yeah.
I pretty much do anything, Photoshop, live paint, regardless, classic to more traditional and new age stuff, so.
Okay. I mean, most of the artwork, I mean, just looking at the portfolio that I see on your website, which is downandnerdyart.com, you mainly have, I guess, comic book art, right? Or your perspective of comic book art?
I would, more of comic book art, I would say. I pretty much paint whatever I find most interesting. So, yeah. Superhero, comic, that's my thing.
So, I mean, you just recently launched this website, like, not too long ago?
Less than a month, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and it definitely looks interesting, and it definitely looks like the character. Well, it looks like I guess it's not just, like, Marvel or DC. It's multiple, like, any form of comics, right?
Yeah, Marvel, DC, I dabble with kid stuff. I did a painting of Marshmallow from Disney's Frozen
for
my girl.
What the fuck is that? Marshmallow? I never saw Frozen, so.
He's a big little ice dude, so.
All right. I gotta say, I like your black and white Batman one that you did.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna lie, there's some bias there. Like, Batman's the shit. So, I mean, obviously.
Batman is my dude. Batman,
yeah.
And then if I'm going DC, if I'm going Marvel, Spider-Man or Iron Man all day.
Well, I mean, I like your Batman one because not only it's different from the others because it definitely has one a dark, like, atmosphere to it. And right. For those that don't know, go to downandnerdyart.com. It's like, which one is it? It's like, I think on the third row, right in the center, you see this Batman picture. And it's black and white, and it's just him. It's like he's the montage of, like, the skyline of Gotham. But it's I don't know, it's sort of like literally the definition of who he represents and what he does, right?
Yeah, I call it Overwatch is what I call it.
Overwatch, yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
Gotham's protector, you know, so it's kind of just him looking over the city, which is entails exactly what Batman is.
Now, is he your favorite comic book hero, or is he just one of many, obviously?
I would say Batman is number one all time. Iron Man closely behind, you know. I say just because they're regular guys, you know. They're nothing crazy spectacular.
Well, but they're rich as fuck is what...
They turn their weakness into a power is how I see it.
Okay, that's a good perspective.
Yeah.
It's a good way of looking at it. Have you always been into comic books?
I have, ever since a young age. I used to... More cartoons than I would say comic books, but comic books have definitely influenced me since a very young age.
What was... Well, all right, so I guess cartoons, you say, is like your main thing. What was the first cartoon that got you hooked?
I'd say original Batman, 90s Batman was what it was.
Yeah, that guy.
The one with the whole theme song and everything. I got it on my phone.
Yeah, I know. That one, when you look back at it, you're like, how could they play this for kids?
Yeah, it was a little bit darker for kids. I do agree.
Yeah, there was gangs, there was murders, there was cartels, there was like...
Oh, yeah.
There was a bunch of crazy shit.
Yeah.
There just needed to be a little bit of hint of prostitution in there, and we would have been complete.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
All right, well, did you watch anything else, like the X-Men or something?
Yeah, yeah. That was my grow up, the Fox Saturday morning cartoons. I'd sit there with a bowl of cereal and just get down, you know?
Yeah. Oh, dude, they don't do that anymore.
No. There's... Now they have some kind of stuff, but it's nothing crazy. They'll have, like, Power Rangers, but they're on, I'd say, what, number 575? I mean.
Oh, they still have Power Rangers going on?
There's still Power Rangers that airs today. It's based off of a old school Japanese style. It's like called Tokusatsu, I believe, is what it is. But they were a super power squad on the Japanese version, and they adapted it into the American kids show to where they have like, oh, hey, say no to drugs.
Oh, no. They got, like, Nancy Reagan on there now. Just saying no. Oh, no, man. Now it's, like, agenda-driven.
Yeah. I mean, they've always been, you know, with the whole putties and everything, you know, they'd always have, like, the Saturday morning special, like how they did with G.I. Joe. Like, they're like, the more you know.
Yeah. And knowing is half the battle. Yeah. Today, looking back at those cartoons, though, I mean, there is a difference between the cartoons that I grew up with. Well, I mean, even further, there's a difference between the cartoons that you see in the 70s, the 80s. The 90s got really dark and serious. Yeah. And then the 2000s got really bubbly. Yeah. And today I just like look at cartoons and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Do you see like a trend going on? I mean, how did that trend influence you?
The way I see it was cartoons from when they first started airing and broadcasting. I mean, when you have like old school Bugs Bunny, where they were actually a bit more maniacal than you would think. They had a lot of, adult persuasion to them. But they kind of doled them out. They went, you know, 80s and 90s, where they start playing with, you know, 80s, not so much. 90s, it went, yeah, hardcore driven towards more of an adult thing, trying to capture that. And I think that's kind of what grabbed our generation. Now, yeah, it's more, I don't even have a word for it. It's just retarded.
Fake? Yeah. I'd hate to call... you know, today's cartoons fake, but they are. I mean, it's almost like they've been hijacked with, you know, trying to sell you the product itself.
Yes.
You know, or try to sell you on the franchise instead of the actual storyline, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then now, like, you know, with everything else, half the cartoons don't even air for most of the day. I mean, most of it now is just, you know, Nick Jr. crap. It's all based towards kids, 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 kids. It's trying to teach them some kind of values and a moral. And I get that. And it's, you know, we kind of need that in today's society because the next generation is a bunch of retards sometimes. Just say it nicely.
Well, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, in a way, that's kind of our fault. We're the ones pushing out the, maybe not directly, but indirectly for sure, pushing the quote-unquote, you know, PC culture onto cartoons, right?
Yeah, I do agree with that.
You're a comic book guy. I've never been to Comic-Con, so...
I've never been to a con myself either. I wish I have.
Oh, really? You haven't?
No.
Okay, because I thought you and because you know, Will referred you, you know, and he, I'm sure, goes to that shit all the time.
Oh yeah, Will definitely for sure.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Will, I mean, he's all the way. What? Not too long ago, I interviewed him, probably like 6 months or so. And okay. From what I understand, did you do his illustrations or?
No. I actually got into contact with him at this microcon that we're working here in Vegas called Geek. They have a microcon, which is literally like about six vendors all at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And I saw he had all of his stuff. And I actually feel like I could probably help him a bit with his illustrations for his graphic novel.
Okay.
So there have been talks about that, not too much, but partially.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. I was kind of wondering, like, where was the connection going on over there, you know? Because he didn't really explain that either, but that's interesting. So you're working on a project over there?
I got a couple of projects that I'm working on. I'm working on a full Walking Dead project in a new form called Paper Cut.
Paper Cut?
Paper Cut. It's kind of like, imagine you're doing a painting or an art, like a piece of art, and each layer you're doing is a different color or a different shade of that color.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the same thing with paper. You're starting with the darkest tone either towards the front or the back, and then you're layering it upwards. So we just we kind of ventured into that project this morning, and it's actually working out pretty well. Like minimalist art, I would say.
Minimalist?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Do you normally take like a minimalist approach? It looks like, I mean, you focus a lot on contour lines is what I,
yeah. I'm big on line work. Line work kind of punches it out all the way. That's how I see it. Would I like to get into no line work? Yes. Would I like to try different things? Absolutely. I'm all about change with it. But the style that I go with now, it's, yeah, more bold, punchy lines.
Okay. How long have you been painting or doing artwork, sorry?
I've been doing art since I was young. I haven't actually got into painting for maybe less than 2 years, actually doing traditional painting. And I think I've come a long way since then.
Okay. Do you prefer doing cartoons? Tunist art, or do you also do like live art and other than painting, I mean, what kind of, oh, and other than cartoons, do you do other types of art?
I haven't really dabbled into, like, I know what you're talking about, like surrealist and real life portraits and stuff.
Yeah,
I can do them. On my website, you can see my Deadpool. That's about as real as I've gotten on there. I prefer to work in cartoons, comic books, superheroes, you know. I do love that style. Anime is kind of coming into full perspective with it, so I'm trying to work in some of that stuff too.
Okay. All right. I mean, what's your favorite anime?
You know, there's so many of them. Brotherhood, you know, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, that's legit. Elven Lead, really dark, really gritty. Sword Art Online, it's pretty awesome. It's kind of actually the way that we've been going in the way that, you know, with our video games, it feels the exact same as that show.
Oh, wow. I just, I don't really watch a lot of anime, But I just got into this one. My partner just showed it to me called Attack on Titan.
Yeah, Attack on Titan's pretty gritty.
Yeah, dude. I was like, whoa, what the fuck am I watching?
And it's a total, it's a mind fuck and a half, to be 100% honest. You're like, wait a minute. Somehow they have some kind of gene in them. When they rage the fuck out, they turn into this giant thing that just berserks across the entire city.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, I don't know. It's just really weird. But also the symbolism of just having this huge giant thing roam around and just fucking up your city one day and just, you know. It's like,
and they're like, oh, yeah, this happens all the time. Like, don't worry about
just
it.
Just another Sunday, you know. It's like, fuck. But, I mean, in a way. And this is what I kind of like about cartoons is, and just, you know, comics in general, is that you can really tap into social, political issues without really talking about those issues.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
It's kind of hard to say with Batman, because Batman, at least in the 90s, there were some issues that they were trying to cover, but... I mean, most of it was just, fuck, it just sucks to be alive, you know? But then there's...
The way that I looked at it was more like the power of the mob, the way that they were trying to do it, and him as a vigilante, kind of like, he has to come through all that crap to be something more, something better, and still do it for a good reason without completely fucking everything up, you know? Because he still has morals, he doesn't kill and shit.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, like, what rules are you supposed to break? What rules shouldn't you break? What is ethical? What is ethics? Right? And, you know, that's what I liked about Batman from, like, the get-go was, you know, there is no real definition as to, oh, he's doing something good, because he's not really doing something good. I mean, but... He is, I don't know, it's kind of weird, right? I mean,
he's not good, he's the greater good, is the way that he's, like, portrayed as, I believe.
Okay, that's a good point, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, what he's trying to do is he's trying to stop crime, but in his own way. Like, he doesn't want to follow laws, but he wants it off the streets. So, here's where it goes. Okay, they get sent off to Arkham, they get sent off to Blackgate, you know.
Yeah, but but in that same process, because it's weird, he won't kill them, right? Like, for instance, the Joker, right? And spoiler alert, you know, I mean, he gets out of Arkham, right? Not just once, but multiple times,
yeah.
Right? And it points out, yeah, and oh, he's back again, you know, like, and out, and, you know, now all the fish are contaminated with Smilels, you know? Or, you know, like, and it, honestly, if it happened at any other city in real life, it would have been like, dude, this Batman character sucks balls, because, like, this guy keeps on getting out of jail, and now he's contaminating the fish, the water, like it doesn't seem like it's getting better at all.
Yeah. I do agree with that as well. It's kind of like overstepping the law, but then not following up with it. I do feel you on that.
Yeah.
There was one issue though that I saw with Justice League, where the Joker pretty much like threatened to kill, I think it was Bruce Wayne or Clark Kent himself. He found some way to take them out, and Bruce took him in his car and fucking murked him, like straight up killed him, went to prison and everything.
Who, the Joker?
Yeah, he kills him.
What?
And the reason why is because he's like, you know, I could take him threatening my life, I could take him threatening everything, but when you fuck with the people that I love and you've already taken that shit from me once before, I can't do it again.
Well, because he pretty much killed, like, Robin, right? Spoiler alert, read fucking issues. Or
but... Well, you know, and that's one thing that it kind of goes in 9 million different directions. I mean, there's literally been five or six different Robins.
Oh, I thought there were just three.
No, there's Tim Drake, there's Dick Grayson, there's Damian Wayne, and now they have like some chick version of Robin.
Oh, they fucked it up. We liked the, you know, ambiguously gay Robin, which has been the first three, you know.
But within that same story arc, you get other villains from it that in turn, it's kind of like a vicious cycle of it. Like, if you read into it and the way that you look at it, you can see where the Joker is a repetitious thing. Like, okay, so the Joker kills off Robin. Robin is resurrected in the Lazarus Pit.
Oh, yeah.
By Ra's al Ghul. He becomes the Red Hood, which becomes the Killing Joke, you know, the story of the Killing Joke, which is one of the most infamous ones, and Death in the Family.
Uh-huh.
From that, though, if you look at the new movies now, Batman versus Superman, where it's like, ha ha ha, joke's on you, and you have the Jared Leto Joker, if you look at the suit, it has the bullet holes in it. Spoiler alert, kind of like it shows you who exactly the Joker is. So you go through that step. Okay, Joker killed the Robin. Robin got resurrected. Robin goes Red Hood. Then Robin goes Red Hood to Joker. The original Red Hood was the Joker.
Yeah.
So you just continue following the exact same story arc in a fucking circle. It's great, don't get me wrong, but it is very repetitious in that manner.
Yeah, yeah. And for those that don't know, you just went through like 10 years of of comic book. Like,
sorry, I fucked your world up.
But yeah, basically, it's kind of interesting how the Red Hood kind of repeats itself and becomes the enemy of Batman using Batman's strategy later on, yeah. Right? Because
He uses the reverse of Batman's strategy. He's in the vigilante state, but he's in the vigilante state of, okay, you're gonna fuck up, I'm gonna kill you. You're dead.
Yeah. And I'm trying to see. Batman needed to bring back Nightwing, who was the original Robin, in order to combat the new Red Hood, which was the second Robin, right?
Nightwing, the original Robin kind of goes off and does his own thing, and a lot of people will say, you know, none of this is canon or whatever, but if you watch the cartoon, if you read the comic books, it all falls in line. Nightwing comes back, Nightwing has to deal with Red Hood, so it's basically Robin versus Robin.
Yeah, that's true.
And then there's also there's another one that comes up with Damian Wayne, who apparently has some sort of superpowers, and he basically takes on fucking all of them.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and he's a kid, and he's fucking.
Well, from what I understand, he was trained by Ra's al Ghul, right?
Who?
Damien? Who's the daughter? That chick that like with the big tits?
Oh, Talia.
And Talia. Yeah, she supposedly she trains Damien, right?
Yeah, well, that's kind of a weird twist story, because Batman has like love interest with Talia al Ghul, who is the daughter of Ra's al Ghul. So it just kind of, all these story arcs find their way to meld into each other. So Damien, he's kind of like a little dickhead
brat,
but he's a fucking badass.
Yeah, yeah. He's like trained in like ridiculous martial arts and just rips you apart.
Yeah, he's the equivalent of Batman at a young age, of what you would think that Batman would have started out as.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's some creepy shit. But for sure, well, I mean, going back to like the archetype of what Batman is, I mean, you have, you pretty much have one person who's trying to balance out justice by illegal means, but in the process, you see the flaw of the whole entire justice system, right?
Yes.
I mean, you see Joker coming back over and over, just fucking over each Robin, you know, he comes across, or Superman, Lex Luthor, You know, yeah. And, I mean, he starts running for president. He comes back and, like, you know, he just screws everybody over. And in these same, like, storylines, you see the constant effort and failure of, I mean, the good guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of shittiness is that? I mean, it almost makes you not want to be the good guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at the same time, with each coming and going of, you know, villain and superhero, they get stronger or smarter. They learn how to deal with new issues. So I guess it kind of falls into that play of it, which is genius for the writer because then he can continue making money.
Is that what it's all about?
Did I just ruin everybody's life again?
Fuck, mind blown.
Yeah. But yeah, I do feel you. There's definitely, when they show that, it's definitely a flaw in the justice system, in the, I don't even know the word for it, the efforts of the police system to stop something. And it kind of follows in suit with real world. I mean, you can't stop murder. Somebody's going to always be murdered. There's always going to be new and bad things coming. And, you know, hopefully there's a good guy out there somewhere.
I guess the cartoons inspired you, right? I mean, Yeah. You're constantly driven by the art. I mean, you're driven by the cartoons to do your artwork, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you try to portray them in a certain way when you paint / draw them?
You know, it's kind of whatever comes to mind, to be quite honest. Sometimes I do it where it's just like a solid silhouette where it's like, hey, here's me, I'm a badass. And then there's other ones where it's like, oh, well, this is, you know, like I have a Thor painting. Thor painting's like him kind of enraged, you know, the thunder god.
Uh-huh.
So it's always changing. It's always evolving.
I'm noticing, that there's one or two pieces of artwork where it's literally just the mask of the hero. And it seems like, and it's interesting because it's just the mask with the color behind it, but the mask itself looks like it's melting, like it's falling apart.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
I was dealing with like a drip situation where I just kept on wanting to see what I can do, see how I can progress it.
Because they look really good.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I mean, definitely you grab the look of the drip very well. Like it almost looked like it's just falling, like literally dripping off of the painting.
Yeah. It's literally just, you know, like I said, testing techniques, testing the water, seeing what I can do, seeing how far I can push myself. So,
what character is that or who is that?
Neither of them were really a specific.
Really?
Yeah.
They both look like something familiar. I don't know.
Yeah. If you look at the red one, it feels sort of like a Robin mask. And if you look at the other one with the gray background, it feels more like a Green Lantern.
Oh, that's what. Yeah, that's right. I was like, who the fuck is that? Yeah, that's more like Green Lantern. Yeah. Okay.
Traditional Green Lantern, not Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern, which sucked ass.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think that Ryan Reynolds now is Deadpool?
You know, I haven't watched the movie yet. And it's very saddening. But tonight, like I said, I'm going to watch it. So.
Oh, tonight's your date night, right?
It's my date night. That is correct.
After the movie, right?
Personally, Ryan Reynolds fits the fucking bill to a T for Deadpool.
Really?
Smart-ass fucker, fully built out, and he can pull it off, man.
Yeah, you know, I haven't watched it myself either, but a lot of people have told me that it's on point.
Yeah.
Like, it's very close to the way the comics are, which is always good to hear, right? Because you don't really hear that much.
Yeah, a lot of people have that problem with a lot of movies that are based off of comic books. A lot of people always say, even with the Batmans, because there's umpteen million Batmans that are out and it's just going to continue growing, they always say, oh, it's not canon, it doesn't follow the storyline. It sucked, this and that. I heard that about Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, and, you know, all that. And I was like, you know what? Go fuck yourself, to be quite honest, because those movies were amazing. It's a story that somebody chose to take it into their own interpretation, and they killed it. With Deadpool, they say that it falls more to the story arc of the comic book, and I am A-okay with that because it keeps it more canon for all the naysayers and the dickweeds of the world that say, oh, this movie sucked because of this.
Okay, that's good to hear because I totally agree. I mean, yeah. when I go see those movies, I'm not looking for... I mean, obviously, it's going to be an interpretation of, yeah, like the original storyline. When I go see a movie, just like I go with any movie, I'm trying to look for a good story, a good, you know, cinematography, good, you know, direction and director, you know, just a good movie that I would want to watch over and over again.
And I'm right there with you. I feel the exact same way about The Walking Dead, the TV series. It definitely does not follow any story arc whatsoever of the comic book. Or
they've changed
novel.
It. They changed it like 3 times, right?
Yeah, they've changed everything about it. I mean, Carol's still alive.
That bitch Carol.
But now it's more like, oh, that bad bitch Carol. Oh, she's fucking murk and everything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That bitch is nuts now.
Everybody's like, oh, I hate her so much. I hate her. I hate her because she's such a, you know. But it's like, look, she's had turmoil just like everybody else, you know. She lost her husband and she lost her daughter and they, you know, had to put her daughter in the ground, you know, since it turned into a walker, and then has to kill the two little girls.
Spoilers.
If you haven't watched the series, then I'm sorry, you're so far gone.
It's, yeah, ridiculous. You really have, right? It's just so gone now.
But I mean, in retrospect, to look at the comic books, Carol's sort of demented in the comic books. She wants to have like a 3-way marriage with fucking Rick and Laura, you know, like.
Yeah.
But it's like you need to know these things, and you need to know how the story was and where it comes from, but at the same time, just fucking love it for what it is.
Yeah, you know, I know a few people that hated the Batman, the new Christopher Nolan series of Batman, just because it wasn't loyal to quote unquote the comics, but it was loyal, and I think. It definitely showed its loyalty, at least in The Dark Knight, right? I mean, the ending to The Dark Knight pretty much encompassed exactly what Batman represents, means, and you know, what his position was in Gotham.
Yeah.
I know, I sound so angry.
The way that I see it is they have the characters that you need. The characters are never changing. Does Bane look way different and feel way different than what he was in the, you know, comic book and the TV series? Absolutely. But again, that's up to interpretation. Does it follow the story arc to a point? Yes and no. You know?
Yeah.
I thought they did it perfectly. The way that they did the story with Heath Ledger as the Joker, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. I mean, the guy sacrificed everything that he was to be this person. And for somebody to hate on that, fuck off.
You know? Well, yeah, totally. On top of that, just the storyline of that movie by itself was almost like a Greek tragedy. You know, it was so well done. That is like your 4th cigarette you are smoking today, sir. I'm worried about you, Kyle.
It is the same cigarette. I keep putting it out to have this conversation.
Oh, wow. All right, then I can't bash on you.
But yes, I do agree. It was definitely a huge tragedy. Heath Ledger, amazing actor.
Yeah, he was on point.
For someone to devote themselves to that much to where it drove them mad to eventually make him to where he kills himself, that's art in 100% of the word,
Yeah. Well, I mean, he. Yeah. Do you think it was suicide or was it just by accident? Or a little bit of both?
I think it was more along the lines of OD.
Okay.
And he could have been doing it to suppress what he had become in real life.
That's a
Trying
good.
to erase what he was in real life. Because, he's done all these movies beforehand and nothing seemed to really fuck him up, but this role fucked him up.
Yeah, for sure. And it definitely came off like that. Like it looked like he turned into that person. Like I couldn't even see Heath Ledger. I just saw the Joker.
Yeah, exactly. And there's been story notes online and everything with cast interviews and everything saying, hey, the things that you're seeing in the movie were him 100%. The fight scene with Heath Ledger and Christian Bale when they're inside of the Inquisition cell, basically, when he's asking him where Harvey Dent is and where his love is, Heath Ledger said, fucking have at it. Hit me, dude. Like, take it to that fucking level. Make it real.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the sound that you hear when it's like it sounds like his head hitting the wall is his head hitting the fucking wall.
Really? Damn, imagine Christian Bale. Like, I would have been so. I don't know. I don't know how it would feel doing that to somebody. You know? Like, that's intense. And by far, that was, I would say, the best scene in the movie.
I would say that's the best scene in all three movies, to be
Yeah.
quite honest.
Yeah.
Because you see the sinisterness, you see the darkness, you see the light in what Christian Bale as Batman is trying to do, but you also see the dark in him in what he has to do.
Yeah, like he wants to break that his rule. You know, he just wants to like fucking rip him apart, just beat the shit out of him. And that's what
But
Batman.
he has that hold back to where he's like, I can't do that. This is not me.
Yeah, it gets intense, man. I could watch that scene over and over, and it encompasses exactly the relationship between the two.
Yes, 100%.
Now that I'm talking about that actually reminds me. Have you ever seen the Batman black and white cartoons? They were done in like I think the late 90s or the early 2000s. I saw them on iTunes. And
I have not. It would be great to see though.
yeah, it's really intense because they take like very comic strip cartoons, but they move them around so it looks like there's actual motion or like actual talking. But it's all black and white, and it's really creepy because the storylines are way more intense than the cartoon in the 90s. Like, yeah.
If we do want to go back into like some kind of Batman history, in some of the first episodes of the Detective Comics, where it started off with the story of the Batman, he does kill one person.
Who?
He killed somebody. And when they did that, when they killed him off, because the I can't even remember the name of the character that he kills, but they lost a lot of followers, a lot of readers due to the fact that he killed somebody. So they had to soften him up into more of just the detective crime fighter, rather than the rogue vigilante who's going and killing everybody off.
Okay, so it looks like, all right, I'm trying to look that up. Okay, so it looks like he kills somebody.
Yeah.
Batman hangs a mental patient from the bat plane.
Yes.
What? All right, so yeah. Batman's career is blah, 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 blah. The scientist henchman driving out of the blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately for them, Batman had just finished mounting a brand spanking new machine gun onto the Batplane. How convenient that in the 1940s comic, he still had a fucking machine gun on his plane.
Yeah.
Goes on, blah, 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 but the henchman actually gets off, blah, blah, blah. As soon as he falls out of the truck, before he can hurt a single soul, Batman drops a noose made from reinforced steel. Oh my god. And easily snatches the monster by the neck. Right. Batman then lifts off the aircrafter as the monster desperately struggles to break free, blah, blah, blah. So basically he just hangs this fool.
Yeah. He like throws a insta-lasso noose and hangs the fucker. Yeah.
Holy shit. He's better off this way. Okay, Batman, he definitely would have been blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he just, okay, so he just, I guess he was running away and he just grabs him from the Batplane and just hangs him with a noose. The Batplane has a noose.
Yeah, he like makeshift slipknot threw a noose around the guy.
Yeah, a noose made out of steel.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm surprised that guy's head didn't fall off. Okay. Right. So apparently Batman also crushes people to death in Junkyard. Oh, well, that's different though, right? I mean, those are just henchmen that just fall through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to happen. All right, I mean, like, if you're going to be...
Die from him beating the shit out of them. They will die from the internal bleeding later on.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there would have to be like 20 other issues just to cover the backstory, the physical therapy that these henchmen go through. I mean, the mental trauma. I'm sure there's a lot of things that Batman could be and could not be, you know, faulted for. So I don't know. It's bullshit.
But, you know, with all that being said and done, the way that they have taken him in a direction to where he's not a killer is better for everybody, you know?
Well, definitely for the story and what he represents, right?
Yeah. Because you can't just have... Because then, if you take it that way, he's no better than the people he's killing.
Yeah, exactly. But fuck, man, we need to kill some people, okay? Some people just need to die. That's what Batman never understood, man.
Yeah.
See, I mean, I wouldn't be a good Batman, that's why. I would just
you'd
be like,
Red Hood.
I'd be the Red Hood, but I'd be like really chill Red Hood, like somebody you'd want to smoke weed like, with, like somebody you want to, you know, meal prep with.
It's cool, don't worry about it, not today.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just want to chill and, oh, this fool just committed a crime. Oh, let's just bust his kneecaps. and then go back and smoke a bowl. That's how my day would go. So, what are these projects that you're working on? You're trying to do, like, a convention or like, a con? A Comic-Con convention?
Well, I have a few things that I'm actually planning out here.
One of which, just so people know, because you're in Vegas, right?
Yeah, Las Vegas, Nevada. We have an art event that comes around once every month. It's called First Fridays. It's basically a giant art convention. We really have not much of culture, but this one event every month kind of reaches out from that. So we have that coming up. That's going to be the start of next month. And as the name says, first Friday of every month. Other than that, there will be an amazing Toy Con, I believe it is, coming to the Orleans Arena. And we are playing that out. That should be coming up in August. And I believe Will is trying to get involved in that as well. Other than that, if I can continue to branch out, I would love to go to, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, Austin Comic-Con, anything statewide, countrywide, worldwide.
Have you tried doing, like, because some of this artwork, I gotta say, is kind of, I mean, obviously everybody loves, you know, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Deadpool, but, right. And you also have some of this Star Wars stuff, too.
Right.
But some of these, like the ones with the dripping masks, the Batman one, that's black and white. Some of these, like, you just want to stare at for a long ass time, you know, like, I mean, definitely your artwork is pretty minimalistic, but some of these are pretty deep too.
Yeah.
You know? Have you ever thought of going to, like, perhaps just a regular regular art show?
Like a gallery? Like gallery submissions? Is that what you're asking?
Not gallery submissions, but, like, backyard art shows or, like, you know, that sometimes people throw. And, I guess some galleries would be considered as that. But, you know, like, well, I don't know how it is in Las Vegas, but I know over here in Los Angeles, we have a shit ton of art shows where...
We don't really have that. We have a couple of things that we do, like, and they're very, very seldom and not very often in any sense of the word.
It's because you guys got too many casinos. You guys need to make one casino that just, like, that does a bunch of crazy shit.
Yeah, we really don't have much culture. We have exhibitions that come and go through the city, but we have no art. I mean, we used to have a Smithsonian before they opened up the brand new Smith Center.
Oh, wow.
And nobody ever went to it, so they kind of just shut it down. We have not much in the way of museums. We have two groups that really host and do anything here for the city. One of them is called ISI. It's Industry Supporting Industry. And I've tried to get in contact with them. And it's kind of hard to because all the artists that they have are from the tattoo side of the world.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I mean, it's not impossible for me to get into, but some of the things that they ask you to do are on the harder side to do, especially in a city like it is because we're a 24-hour city. We work all the time. But First Fridays, you know, that's an easier one. That's actually hosted by Zappos. That literally comes around once
Zappos
a month.
Zappos is big in you guys in Vegas, right? They own like a whole campus, right?
Yeah, they have a whole campus there. The owner lives in Vegas. He has his entire mansion estate up for people to basically just go through. And they have a new thing downtown, which is called, I can't even think of it off the top of my head, but it's a bunch of cargo containers stacked on top of each other, and they have various shops in there.
Yeah, I know. So, I think he's trying to, like, revitalize at least old Vegas, right?
Yeah. It's called Container Park. That's what it's called.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, that he's definitely trying to make Vegas more than what it is. Because right now, like I said, Vegas has not much of culture. And I completely, completely support the guy for trying to bring something into the city of Las Vegas.
So for those listening that don't know, the CEO of Zappos, which I think is partly owned by Amazon, right? Amazon has a huge stake in it.
Yeah, I think they have partnership in it. They ship from Amazon, and Amazon does a lot of their advertising and everything.
So the CEO of Zappos moved pretty much the customer service and the distribution base to Las Vegas, mainly for tax purposes. But once he came over here, he wanted to revitalize at least the culture and history of Las Vegas. He owns this huge-ass mansion, and he also owns this whole entire campus dedicated to Zappos. And I think him and, well, he's the main funder, but I believe him, and he's trying to bring in some local investors as well to do, like, I think, I'm trying to remember the amount, but it's like a $2 billion project of revitalizing and creating a downtown district for the locals of Las Vegas and not just the people who come and visit Las Vegas, like the Strip. Yes. Which is kind of it's kind of brave because, I mean, right now Vegas has the infrastructure, but it doesn't have the will, the political will for it, because there's so much more lobbying for the casinos, for entertainment, and not so much for the actual residents of Vegas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so I don't know. Maybe in the next 5 years, I mean, Vegas would be a completely different place. I mean, how do you see it?
Well, you know, from what it was to what it is now, we do have more culture because of him. We don't have an obscene amount of culture. We have the Container Park, which Container Park is cool. You know, it's a fun place for a bunch of locals to get down. There's Gold Spike down there. Our city is based off of tourism, though. If we didn't have tourism, we wouldn't be anything. We wouldn't even be a face on the map. So, you know, Old Vegas, yeah. Old Vegas, it can go because it's a seedier part of the town. And, you know, I am A-okay with that. But some of them are, you know, landmark properties that need to stay in city. Then there's other ones that are, you know, the newer casinos, city center and stuff, that have brought in a lot more, like, economy just to the city by itself. And there's also other large projects that are coming, too, that will just increase our population by one, as well as our economy. So, you know, it's kind of six in one, half dozen in the other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. Well, man, you need to fucking come out here, bring some of this, some of these paintings, and show them off to art galleries or like just art shows, you know?
Yeah.
There's this one called the Pancake and Booze Art Show. I always highly recommend it. It blew up. It blew the fuck up. Like, I remember I saw it when it first started out in a small town here in, well, not small town, but a small place here in Culver City, and then it moved to downtown Los Angeles, and now it's just like thousands of people go every time they show. But I mean, they actually now go around the country doing these small art shows. So, yeah. I mean, hopefully they stop by Vegas. If not, try to catch one here in Los Angeles, man. I can see this being up there for sure.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. I'm continually trying to grow my database, one, and two. Everybody who sees it, I'm trying to be, you know, culturally diverse in every kind of way. I mean, my website's only up to about 500 views, 600 views in the past, like, half month that we've had it up.
Uh-huh.
But we have places all over the world. We have it in, like, Saudi Arabia. People are viewing our art. The Bahamas. The Philippines. And we just want to continue to grow that. I mean, as long as I can put out art and get it to the world, I'm happy. You know?
That's always good, man. Yeah. I mean, is there a piece of artwork that you're most proud of, or a style of artwork that you're most proud of?
My piece of art that I am most proud of would actually have to be one of my Spider-Man pieces.
How dare you?
You've probably seen it on there. It's him doing kind of a like a backflip through the city skyline in like about 10 different shades of gray that I had to like pull out of thin air. And then the webbing is also of my own concoction.
That sounds weird when you say it like that, but okay. Yeah, no, I totally see the artwork, but all right, I can see it's a lot harder than some of the other artwork that you have here.
Yeah. It was one of the pieces that actually pushed me back into painting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It had pushed me back into art in general. I kind of like steered clear from it for a while. And then, you know, for a Christmas present, I got a 2-foot by 3-foot canvas. And I said, you know what? Fuck it, balls to the wall, throw out everything that I got, and did it with what it is.
Pretty sweet, man. Pretty sweet. I'm going to have to cut this one short, but I just want to get through some stuff. So your Twitter handle is Down and Nerdy Art, right? At Down and Nerdy Art?
Twitter handle is Down and Nerdy 702.
Oh, 702. There it goes. What the fuck am I saying?
I have a Facebook page. It's Down and Nerdy Art. My email is downandnerdyart@gmail.com. My website is downandnerdyart.com. And I pretty much keep it down and nerdy, bro.
Okay, and you've been painting pretty much since you were...
I can't even remember or recall. First time I actually picked up a paintbrush. Doing art, I've been doing it since I was at least 5. You know, painting or drawing, coloring, all that good stuff. In middle school, didn't really deal with it because, you know, I'm like, girls, found out about girls.
shit, you most and like half of the population.
High school, you know, I kind of got back into it, you know, with anime and manga. It kind of hit like a good seed with like Dragon Ball Z and a whole bunch of other things that came up into fruition through cross culture in America. And then in my 20s, I believe the first painting that I did might have been like 25, and then I just let it all fall off and then just picked it back up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried getting into painting. Not that I don't like it, it's definitely time consuming.
It can be. I mean, once you get into your rhythm and once you find your style and your mark that you can leave on everybody, you can get it down to no time at all. I mean, it goes with anything. I mean, with podcasting, you know the questions to ask. It's kind of the same thing with painting. You know, like when you're painting, you know the things that you need to do. You know the things that you don't need to do and what you do. And it's all just through practice, you know, trial and error and repetition.
Yeah, exactly. How long does your like most recent artwork take?
Well, my most recent one, which is my Deadpool one, that took me about 2 days, but I would say it would take longer in combined time because, you know, we have to wait for paint to dry and for it to settle into the colors. Most of my artwork takes about 2 to 4 hours.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So I jam them out.
Yeah.
I have a vision and I just, you know, pound it.
Do you, draw it before you put it up or start painting or
sometimes you know, like I'll throw down like a light sketch line and I end up losing it half the time and I create my own thing in the middle of it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cuz the way I used to do it, I used to draw it first, and if it made sense like as a drawing, I would start painting it, but then it's so fucking hard to put what you draw on a canvas.
Yeah.
You know, because like...
Your lead's always breaking. You're getting snags on the canvas.
Yeah. It just doesn't work out. Like, it's really hard for me. I'm better just at drawing, you know?
And your perspective changes as well because you're working with a larger surface area. So if you're like sitting right here and you're looking at it downward, it's like, oh yeah, it looks great. And then when you go over to the top of it, you're like, that head is fucking huge.
Yeah, like
what's that you wrong?
Like no chicks have that big of a head. Like you know, like well they shouldn't. They really shouldn't.
They have other parts that are supposed to be that big.
I know. Well supposedly, I don't know. All right, man. Well, I gotta say, I'm glad that you guys reached out to me because I definitely like your artwork for sure.
I appreciate it, and thank you for staying in contact with me. You know, I really appreciate actually getting the word out and talking with somebody that can relate to it on about the same page.
Yeah, you know, I wish we had more time to like just go through and talk like some more stuff. Definitely more comic book shit. And obviously, like I could go hours and hours talking about Batman. So, I mean, that might have to be a different episode, though. You know,
we could absolutely do that. I'm all about it, man. All
right, next time we can talk about, you know, our different ways of jerking off to Batman episodes. Okay, and then and then afterwards we can consider Spider-Man. All right. All right. Check him out, Kyle at downandnerdyart.com. Definitely something interesting to look at. And can they buy this from you?
Absolutely. I do have a Etsy shop that's up, as well as you can just get in contact with me through the website itself or Facebook, which is also Down and Nerdy Art.
All right. Cool, man. Thanks, Kyle, for coming on. All right.
Thank you very much, man.
All right. For everybody else, you know the drill, right? I mean, come on now. Let's get over the. You go to abspodcast.com. All right. You download our fucking podcast and you move on. All right. You live and you learn. If you have any suggestions, or if you want to find how to get to Kyle and you just like skip to the end and you just and you're just listening to this part right here, you can always email us at anotherbspodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, follow us on social media, on Instagram and Twitter at ABS Podcast. All right, guys, I'm Christian, and this was a BS Podcast.